bird feeder could transform from an extra source of food to a lifeline for hungry birds. So while birds aren't dependent on food from feeders long-term, providing birdseed in the depths of winter could really help out your feathered friends. For BirdNote, I'm Mark Bramhill. BirdNote is supported by American Bird Conservancy, dedicated to conserving wild birds and their habitats throughout the Americas. Learn more at abcbirds.org.
This is Katie and Kate. Ooh, we're spicy. There we go. This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. You're listening to Geek Speak on Katie and K. I'm your host, Matt McBear from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
Last episode before Christmas.
Yeah.
Got any cool gadgets you're getting, people?
Not really, no.
You know, the problem with being a computer nerd is that when you get gadgets for them, it's so predictable. You know, people just like, oh, not another gadget. Kind of like my wife with, let me guess, it's a rock.
There's a lot of cool rocks, though.
There are. And everyone's different.
Yes. Yeah, every single one of them is unique.
Yep, exactly. So our number is 970-963-2976. The name of the game is GeekSpeak. And Matt and I are standing by, along with the whole team of call screeners and operators, waiting for your incoming calls. And we're here to help. We're here to share. If you have a great new gadget that you're getting somebody or that you want, maybe you want to put it out on the air that you like want somebody to get you something and you hope they're listening. So anyway, we got a call coming in already.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey there, guys. I recently upgraded to Windows 11 after one of those no strings attached kind of things from Microsoft. As it turns out, now my SD cards don't read. Do you know anything about that?
Oh. Is it a is it an external SD card reader or an internal SD card reader?
Internal.
Okay.
So have you gone into the device manager of your computer to make sure that, and if we have to back up and we can tell you how to get there, we can. I don't want to mansplain to you, though. Have you gone into device manager to see if there are any, like, exclamation marks on anything?
No, I have not.
Okay. So that's probably the first thing you should do. I'm going to bet that the SD card reader in your computer that Windows 11 didn't readily or wasn't able to readily identify the make and model and install the correct software to so that Windows can talk to it. So,
okay.
Let's see. I think the easiest way to get to Device Manager, I don't have a Windows computer in front of me right now, but I think if you right-click on the Start button, a menu will pop up and Device Manager should be one of the options on it.
Okay.
Help me, help me, Matt. Am I right?
So I'm loading a Windows VM.
Okay. he's running Windows on his Linux computer here.
Yeah. What I was going to say is hit the Windows key and then type in device, and then I think the list it should list Device Manager as one of the top two or three things that it lists in the search.
Okay, bear with me. Yep. Originally, I heard the word Start key, and now I'm here in Windows key.
Same difference.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Potato. So.
Got it. Okay, good. And look for Device Manager, and then what would I look at after that?
So you'll be looking for one that has like a little exclamation point next to it. It'll be like a little exclamation point with a yellow triangle around it usually.
Yeah. So a happy Device Manager basically just has a list of like all the different types of devices. And the things aren't expanded and don't have like a sub item under them. But if an unhappy device manager will have the list of all the different types of devices, and there'll be one or two of them that's expanded that shows something along the lines of unknown device, and it'll have like a yellow exclamation mark or a red X through it type of thing. And so basically, if you do come across something like that, your best bet is to go to your manufacturer's website, the manufacturer of the computer's website, and go to the support area and basically go in where you can download drivers for the machine.
All right. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yep. I'm going to look at that while I've got some time left here. Thank you, guys.
Perfect. I guess the other side is you could right-click on, or you could click on it and say remove, and then see if it pops back up and installs correctly. If there's one that is, you know, if it says unknown, you know, like unknown USB device or something like that. Yeah. You know, delete it and see it, bring it and kind of force the computer to try to find drivers for it again. So maybe the computer was offline while it was trying to install it and, you know, couldn't go get the driver for it. So now you just have to kind of reinitialize that or something.
Is it reasonable to think it might say, give me the option to reinstall?
Probably not. You might have, if you right-click on it and choose properties, there may be a button that says, like, search for drivers. You know, that may be one way. But I've generally found that the most streamlined way is just to go straight to the manufacturer's website, pull up your exact model. Some of them, you can actually put the serial number in. It'll pull your exact computer up, and it'll give you a listing of all the different drivers, and the SD card reader will be one of them. So.
Excellent. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck. You're welcome. Take care, man.
You're listening to GeekSpeak on KDNK, 970-963-2976.
You had a lot of people with trouble with the whole Windows 11 transition?
You know, not too many, really. Not that I can think of. I mean, really, the only complaint I've heard from clients is, my computer's too old to upgrade to Windows 11. That's really the only one I've really ever run into with the upgrade problem. Although I think they've changed the rules with that recently. So if you do have an older Windows 10 machine, then you do want to update to Windows 11 before October of next year, when Windows 10 loses support. It might be worth trying again, because like I said, they changed the rules for the Windows from upgrading from Windows 10 to 11. So
got it.
Check that again if you want to do that.
And you know what I'll do is, because I had it right on the tip of my tongue, I think two episodes ago, at this workaround, this hack to make an overwhelming number of Windows 10 computers compatible, even though Microsoft says they're not. And I'll get the information for that, and we can talk about it. Got another call.
You're on with the Geeks.
I had a question about Microsoft.
Don't we all?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
So infuriating. Anyway, so I changed the addresses on my business, and I cannot for the life of me, nor can a couple people I've tried to hire to help me, figure out how to get that changed. To get verified, it won't let me record the video.
Huh.
Are you talking about like as a business owner, are you talking about your Bing?
Microsoft Places or whatever they call it?
Yeah, or online, if you search Google a business, it'll have all the information and their hours and all of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because usually what I'm trying to remember what I did with my Microsoft one when I set up. I think I had it just copy it. I basically already had my Google one set up, and I logged into Bing. I can't remember what they call it, but Bing Places or something like that, and basically said, hey, I'm the owner of the company. They verified that, and I said, hey, just go copy the stuff off of Google. But I think they sent me a postcard to the address, and then I had to put in the six-digit code. Because I know that's what Google did.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what. So I don't know if you have your. Are they still doing Google My Business, or have they changed the name recently? I'll have to look.
I think it is Google My Business.
Okay, so because that's how I did it. Is I went into, I set up my Google My Business, and then I went into Bing Places.
I already have it set up.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it'll
Google
give you that
My Business.
Yeah. So I don't know if it'll let you go into log into your Microsoft account and go to your, I think it's Bing Places.
Bing Places. Okay.
Yeah. Let me look it up real quick here.
And then have them change what's online on Google.
No, well, you basically can tell it to copy your Google profile over to your Microsoft.
Right, but the Google profile is wrong. It's saying the wrong address.
The Google profile is?
Because I think Google will have you go into Google and you're going to say, change the address, and they're going to send you a postcard to verify the address.
I don't think they do
that anymore. Hmm. So I'm sure that's something that happens all the time.
Yeah. Is there somebody in the Valley that I can hire to help me do this?
I'm trying to think who. I'll tell you, people that are doing this kind of stuff, they don't last long. I don't know. And I don't mean in the royal way, but I mean they it's a difficult business to monetize, and so for that reason, they in this area, I think there's not enough demand for people that do that kind of stuff.
Anywhere in the United States, because it's you can do it from anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Well, tell you what, I think what we should do is I'll do a little bit of research and see if we can find you you may be best working with like a remote agency. Company that does work remotely, but I'll be very, very careful in recommending anything without vetting them. Because I, in all my infinite wisdom as a computer guy, recommended, a disreputable agency to somebody in a similar situation the other day, and it did not end well. And, so I've got my tail between my legs on that a little bit. I'm going to say, why don't we do that? If that's okay with you, you can just kind of like stay tuned or check in with us, and we'll get you the name of somebody that can help you with that. So,
okay. Is there a phone number or an email that I can check in?
Sure. You want to give them yours? You want to give them mine?
mcbrayer at rfhelpdesk.net.
There you go. That's a great one. Yep.
So,
wow, you're gonna have to.
Yeah. So it's MMC B as in boy, RAYER, or you can go on my website and fill in the contact us page.
M. McBrayer at what?
RFHelpDesk.net. Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Okay.
So, yeah, and we'll see if we can find someone to do that, because I know that's. Or, we just need to get into the Google account and see what's in there. Because there's probably some re-verification process that you have to go through.
That's the hard part. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So.
All righty. Deal. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Take care.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye. Oh. She almost stumped the geeks. Maybe she did.
Let's see. Well, there's so many service. Yeah, there's so many services from from Google and Amazon and Microsoft and everyone. It's almost impossible to keep up with any of them.
Yeah, definitely. So let me ask you on the subject of beating the Microsoft horse. Have you had anybody contact you and basically like a Windows? I think it's a Windows 11 update had happened, and Windows and Microsoft and all their infinite wisdom took and moved all their stuff to OneDrive, and now they can't. Now QuickBooks can't find their QuickBooks file because it would happen to be in their QB data folder, in their My Documents folder. Have you come across this? Have you
not in that particular happenstance? But okay. Yes.
All right. So just to put it on everybody's radar, I'm sorry, but I don't know a way to prevent this from happening. But if you should fire up your computer one morning and things aren't where they seem they should be, you can go. The first place to check is you open up the click on the little manila folder at the bottom of your screen to get into your Windows. They call it Windows Explorer. And then you should notice an item called OneDrive along the left. And if you click on that, then it should show you a desktop folder, a documents folder, so on and so forth. And it's aggravating the heck out of a lot of people right now. I've been out on two calls in the last 3 days about this.
Yeah, and I've had some clients where they have their OneDrive attached to multiple computers, and it did that for multiple computers. It grabbed the desktops, you know, so they're separate desktops.
Co-mingled all of them.
And it co-mingled all of the stuff from the multiple machines onto OneDrive, just like you were talking about. So,
how do you get to be one of the biggest corporations in the world doing that stuff? I just don't get it, man. It's so
yeah, I'm almost to the point where it's like I might don't connect to your Microsoft account on your computer, which they're trying to force you to do anyway.
Yeah,
and you know, and basically use a third party tool to get into OneDrive so that it doesn't attach to your computer, so your computer's still independent of of OneDrive and your other cloud accounts.
Yeah. So I have a workaround, and whether people feel comfortable doing this or not, I mean, if you don't feel really computer savvy, don't do this. But the one trick that has become very prevalent on the internet now as a workaround for this is if you open up the C drive or the primary boot drive of your computer, and then you go to the users folder and you open up the folder that's got your name on it in the users folder, and you go ahead and create a new folder called Manila folder. And then you copy the documents folder and the desktop folder from your OneDrive account and you paste them into that Manila folder. Then there's a way, and probably look it up on the internet, there's a way to associate your desktop with that desktop folder that's in the Manila folder file.
Oh, interesting.
And same thing with your documents folder.
Boy, I haven't moved the documents folder
and
since
this way,
ages.
The both of those folders are hidden in a place where OneDrive can't get a hold of them. Or
it's non-default, so it doesn't do it.
Yeah, OneDrive can't find it, and that'll be a permanent solution for you, as far as not having OneDrive pack up your stuff and move it all to the cloud.
Wow.
In the future, so bam. I've done two of them and they work like a charm, man. It's like, and you know, in our business, to make a major change like that and not get a call back on it, at least for some little minutia, that's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had no callbacks. So. I just knocked on wood. So anyway, there's one little Microsoft workaround for you.
Yeah, it's just, the tinfoil hat guy in my head wants to be like, they're collecting all this stuff for their AI training.
Oh, heck yeah. Man. There's no such thing as bad data when you're training an AI model.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. That's what those UFOs back east are for, right?
This actually transitions very well into the article that I was just about to read, because Apple Intelligence has falsely been attributing some fake news to the BBC. So, you know, Apple has rolled out this whole new. Have you seen the ads? The ads are just, I don't know. I don't vibe with the ads. The ads I find really irritating. The music that they use.
The Apple ads lately. The music is. I mute it.
Yeah,
even more vehemently than
these people
than
spiking the camera, and like, you know, this weird music comes on. It's like, you know, hey, it's basically, hey, if I get Apple Intelligence, I can be all that too, you know. But anyway, the BBC is targeting Apple right now over a false claim that I don't know. Is this the United Healthcare thing? Is this associated with the story you were just talking about? The Luigi Mangione?
Yes, that's okay. Yeah, that was the one.
Since you're on a
news diet,
Apple Intelligence has waded into the pool of the this whole United Healthcare CEO suicide or murder or
murder. Well, now murder suicide, it appears.
Okay.
So we'll,
got it.
Well,
yeah.
Yes. So I have not heard that part. So
got
we will.
It. Okay. So here's
this
one
is all conjecture.
Here's one that's really fun. Okay, so this lady falls asleep on, and this is basically this article is about, let's see, the dangers of trusting robots, and this story is about a lady, a South Korean woman, who's sleeping on the floor when her robot vacuum ate her hair.
Oh no!
Forcing her to call for emergency help. So it may not be the dystopian future that Stephen Hawking warned us about, where intelligent devices spell the end of the human race, but it does highlight an unexpected danger of inviting robots into our homes. So,
well, that's true of anything that's that's automated for a particular job.
Yeah,
you know, so mm-hmm. it doesn't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's designed to bump into a chair or uh-huh. a sofa or something. Mm-hmm. It's not designed to bump into the back of someone's head with hair.
Yeah.
So that's an edge case that I don't think was probably considered mm-hmm. when that device was created.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. I guess they're talking about how Tinder has been infiltrated by bots posing as real people. Attempting to manipulate people towards their webcams. Have you ever gotten a text message from some rando individual that basically asks if you want to go golfing?
No, not.
Believe it or not, that's a thing. That's a formulaic way. There's something about asking somebody to go golfing that elicits a certain amount of trust. I don't know what that's about. But,
weird.
But it worked on me twice. And, you know, I had somebody, it was right over Thanksgiving, it was a rando text message, and it basically says, hey, Lena, are you going golfing tomorrow? And I said, I'm not Lena, and second of all, I really wish I could go golfing, but I'm in the Colorado mountains, and it's just not in the cards for me right now. And then this person texted back and says, oh, I'm so sorry to intrude on you, but you sound like a nice person. Tell me more about yourself. And it's basically a scam to, not that I rode the pony to anywhere close to the end of the corral, but I started going, something's just a little bit too, I don't know, this is just a little too formulaic about
it. I think
this.
You just need to start replying with, okay. Just say okay to spam.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm the kind of guy where I like to blow people away with just random acts of kindness or random acts of conversationalism. And I went and Googled the, random person asking me if I want to go golfing. And what do you know? Thousands of articles on Reddit about it. And it's a known approach.
Now, is that true with, is it any recreational thing?
Well, for me, I checked it on my phone. I've actually received two such things, and it was both about golf.
Hmm.
There's something about golf that just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Ask a shrink.
Yeah, I don't know. It is the most dangerous sport in America.
Is it?
Yeah, more people die playing golf than any other game.
I know that.
At least last time I looked at the statistics.
Okay.
It's been a while. But
I would have thought it was lawn darts. Mostly, for sure.
No, it's mostly heart attacks and things
okay,
like that.
Okay, got
know,
it, yeah.
You know, getting struck by lightning.
Yeah, just stepping out of the golf cart.
Yeah, hissing cobra attacks, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm a guy who golfed more in Arizona with the rattlesnakes than I have anywhere else. So, to me, that's just something you just got to learn about. So
the right boots.
Yep. So let's see.
Hello?
Should we mute?
No, it's not important.
Okay.
Oh.
Hi.
Hello.
I've gotten the same things with just a hi. Innocuous
uh-huh. We have a report now, from somebody else in the station.
Now,
that
I have
received similar.
I have received those where it's just, a very innocuous, hello. Salutations of some sort.
Yeah. You know what I would say? I'd respond back with low, And then they'll come back with up, and I come back with down. All right. Well, whoever's been texting Air Bear, stop it. Let's see. A new article is basically, and this is going to come as a shock to everybody, that there seems to be something written into the algorithm around the Telegram app that promotes extremist content. That was me falling out of my chair. So, yeah, you know, I had been actually meaning to ask about Telegram, or, you know, toss it out there, because I had really not had learned that much about it. But a recent report shows that from the Southern Poverty Law Center found that similar channels introduced last year recommend extremist channels to users browsing subjects such as celebrities or technology. So one individual found some, basically was out looking to purchase a illegal firearm and was able to find one within minutes. So anyway, just buyer beware. I'm not here to tell people what to read or censor anybody, but you may encounter that type of content. And I would just say that everything just is worthy of a second or third vetting. You know,
yeah,
it's just like anything you get off anything.
Yeah, because I've used Telegram a little bit, but I really, we kind of centered around Signal.
Got it.
For my encrypted Signal. And uh-huh. I don't yeah. For people that I want to communicate with, you know, out of band, mm-hmm. That's my kind of go-to.
Yeah. Well, I do know this. I did just get through a hacking scenario with a client. And for some reason, one of the vectors of the hack attack did involve the Telegram app. They were we kind of headed it off at the pass before it happened, but they were trying to get us to install it and trying to get us to install it right now, like with the sense of urgency. So anyway, just something to put on your radar. And yeah. So we're kind of getting close to the end of the show here, aren't we?
Yeah, but another 26 and a half minutes.
Yeah. Well, hey, everybody have a great Christmas. And I'm really looking forward to a bunch of calls right after the first of the year, because that is our next show. Right, Matt?
On the 6th, yeah.
6th of January, 2025. And we'll be looking forward to hearing about all the new great toys that you got for Christmas. And how you didn't agree to go golfing with anybody on via text and so forth.
Right. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McPrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Tomato, tomato, potato, potato. No matter how you say it, you're on the Sound Beat.
You like potato, and I like potato. You like tomato, and I like tomato.
Most married couples admit to occasional, let's say, differences of opinion. Seldom are those, again, just differences of opinion, as productive as Ira and Lenore Gershwin's. Their opposing pronunciations of words like tomato and potato led to the hit song Let's Call the Whole Thing Off, written by Ira and his brother George. You're listening to the silk-smooth vocals of the Ink Spots, who recorded this song for Decca in 1937.
You say either.
And you say either.
Well, you say neither.
And you say neither.
Well, either, either, neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off. What do you say? Now, you like potato.
And you like potato.
Well, you like tomato.
And you like tomato.
Well, potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off.
Let's do.
This episode was co-written by Syracuse University student Jill Comaletti as part of the SoundBeat Class Partnership. Find out more about the partnership at soundbeat.org. SoundBeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Barry.
This is KD&K, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Broadcasting at 88.1 FM and via translators K202AB at 88.3 in Glenwood Springs, K202AT at 88.3 in Aspen, K203EG at 88.5 in Basalt, K203EH at 88.5 in Redstone, K228AG at 93.5 in Leadville, K234BG at 94.7 in Old Snowmass, K235AP at 94.9 in Thomasville, and K260BZ at 99.9 in Snowmass Village.
In 2016, he knew what he wanted to do from kind of a macro vision. He wanted to improve